Martin Luther King once said, "Songs are the soul of the movement." His love of black sacred music was lifelong and passionate, and it was a gospel song that was on his lips in those final seconds in that awful day in Memphis 50 years ago. I'm Robert Darden, and this is the music of the Black Gospel Music Restoration Project at Baylor University, the world's largest initiative to identify, acquire, digitize, and catalog America's fast-vanishing legacy of gospel vinyl. It was through the project that I first learned of the hundreds of long-lost 45s and LPs from the 1950s and 60s that spoke so forcefully and courageously about the civil rights movement. And in them, I heard echoes of the protest spirituals that were sung by African-American slaves before and during the American Civil War. Powerful spirituals like "Go Down Moses," "Swing Low Sweet Chariot," "Wade in the Water," and others actually had two meanings. What the slave owners and overseers heard were songs about heaven and the River Jordan. But other slaves knew that these were coded words for freedom. It was that connection that led me to write Nothing But Love in God's Water, Volumes 1 and 2, which trace black sacred protest music from the Civil War to the death of Martin Luther King, and in the process, immersed myself in what became known as freedom songs. Of course, the civil rights movement and Dr. King's involvement begins long before the famed Montgomery bus boycott. African Americans have been fighting and singing about freedom and justice for a century. Take, for instance, "Don't Let Nobody Turn You Around" by the Five Trumpets, released in 1949. It's based on an old spiritual and would be resurrected again in the civil rights protest in Albany, Georgia, as the freedom song "Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around" in 1961 and 1962. Which brings us back to Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Throughout his life, those who knew Dr. King best frequently mentioned what they call his fine, clear voice and his love of both the hymns of the African-American church and gospel music. King first came to wide attention during the Montgomery, Alabama bus boycott of 1955 with his dynamic, courageous stand against racism in that city. The term freedom song hadn't yet come into wide usage, but the brave residents of Montgomery sang on their long walks to work each day and sang on their way home each evening. It was in Montgomery that the idea of a weekly, and sometimes nightly, mass meeting began, which would become one of the staples of the civil rights movement. Led by King and his fellow leaders of the movement, many of whom had union organizing and labor movement singing backgrounds, the meetings were dominated by song. Two old hymns in particular were sung nearly every night at these mass meetings, both chosen by King. One was Onward Christian Soldiers, the other Leaning on Jesus.
Oh, tell me what
a fellowship,
what a joy,
what a joy divine.
Years that followed would see the rise of the sit-in movement, where young African Americans would claim seats at public diners and restaurants that had long discriminated against them and denied them service. The sit-ins were followed by the Freedom Riders, small groups of black passengers who dared to integrate the white-only terminals of the American South. Some of these journeys ended violently, with mobs of whites torching the buses and savagely beating the riders, as local police passively looked on. Many of the Freedom Riders ended up in the state penitentiaries in Mississippi, including the dreaded Parchman, where they were often mistreated and beaten. One of the songs sung by the Freedom Riders and others in those dark prisons was a version of the old Union song, I Shall Not Be Moved. Like Which Side Are You On, Boy? I Shall Not Be Moved had been sung by workers protesting abuse and deadly working conditions in coal mines, tobacco fields, manufacturing plants, and wherever working men and women stood for their rights. And like many of the protest spirituals and labor songs, when it would be sung in the civil rights movement in the years to come, the words would change from the singular, I shall not be moved, to the plural, we shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
Lord,
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
Lord, like that tree.
Like a tree.
It's a plant
that's
burning by the water.
Lo, then I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
Lord, you know then
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
Lord, you know then
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
Lord, like that tree.
Like a tree.
It's a plant
that's a planted by the water.
Lord, then
I shall not be moved.
I
shall not be moved.
Well, the singing of May
shall not
sing grace.
Be moved.
How sweet
shall not
the sound
be moved.
That say
shall not
a wretch
be moved.
Like me
shall not,
O Lord,
be moved.
I was,
shall not,
was lost,
be moved.
But now
shall not
I'm found.
Be moved.
Oh, then
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
One day, you know, I heard.
Shall not
a voice
be moved.
Of my Jesus.
Shall not
so say.
Be moved.
Come up.
Shall not
unto me,
be moved.
You know I
shall not
will give you rest.
Be moved.
Lie down.
Shall not
everyone
be moved.
Everyone
shall not
lie down.
Be moved.
Oh, then
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
Lord, you know then
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
Lord, you know then
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
Lord, like that tree.
Like a tree.
It's a plant
that's planted
by the water. You know who then
I shall.
I shall not be.
I shall not be moved.
The term freedom song first comes into wide usage in the Albany, Georgia movement, where the protesters took old spirituals and gospel songs and gave them lyrics about freedom and justice. In Albany's mass meetings, churches, and on the streets, protesters sang songs like "We Shall Overcome," "Oh Freedom, Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Round," "Up Above My Head I See Freedom in the Air," "Keep Your Eyes on the Prize," "Hold On," "Amen," and others. At the head of most rallies was Martin Luther King, singing lustily along.
Amen.
In the long and bloody Birmingham movement, which saw, once again, King and hundreds of other peaceful demonstrators spend long weeks locked in overcrowded jails, the Freedom Songs played an ever-increasing role. One of the songs that gained particular resonance in Birmingham was 99 and a Half Won't Do. March on Washington for jobs and freedom is one of the pivotal points in American history, and not just African American history. Until the protest marches of 2016 and 2017, this was the largest peaceful gathering in America's history, with at least 250,000 Americans crowding the mall in Washington, D.C. on August 29, 1963. Hundreds of African American musicians, actors, educators, politicians, and activists took to the stages. The day-long event culminated with an impassioned performance by Mahalia Jackson, followed by Martin Luther King's now iconic I Have a Dream speech. But it was Mahalia's version of I've Been Buked, I've Been Scorned that galvanized the mass crowd that day and set the stage for what was to come.
Been scorned. Oh, been bugled, and oh. And I've been scorned. walked about, sure you bone. I'm gonna tell my Lordy when I get home. I'm gonna tell when I get home, I'm going to tell my love when I get home. Just how long they've been treating me Lord, you know I've been built in, I've been scorned. Lordy, oh, and I've been scorned, Lordy, been rebuked, Lord. You know I've been talked about, sure you bone.
But the highs of the March on Washington soon gave way to the emotional lows of the infamous Mississippi summer, where three civil rights workers were murdered in their attempts to register poor African American voters, and hundreds of others were threatened, beaten, or imprisoned, sometimes all three. The Freedom Song repertoire was expanded in Mississippi by the presence of the fearless activist and song leader Fannie Lou Hamer, whose favorite spiritual, This Little Light of Mine, became the soundtrack of that long, hot, difficult song.
Jesus gave us light. told me just what to say.
On Sunday,
he gave me power divine
just to let my little light shine.
Selma, Lord Selma. More than 50 years later, just the name of Selma, Alabama, evokes a host of memories for most Americans, black or white. King and the Southern Leadership Christian Conference and their legions of volunteers found that opposition to their voter registration campaign prompted an almost demonic response in tiny Selma. Today, most of us have two memories of Selma. The bloody charge by a small army of armed officials on a group of peaceful demonstrators on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and the dramatic, inspiring march from Selma to Montgomery that followed. King led the march most of the way. Among the most popular songs sung by the often footsore marchers was "Keep Your Hands on the Plow and Hold On."
Hold on.
So many of these names are familiar now. Montgomery, Birmingham, Selma, but hundreds, maybe thousands of other cities and towns, villages and hamlets across America were deeply involved in the struggle for civil rights. They were simply outside the public's eye. Some were scenes of uncommon brutality. Some are less known today because they were poorly documented at the time or the movement organizers didn't or couldn't achieve their goals. St. Augustine, Florida is one such place. The struggle for justice there took more than a year, and supporters suffered unspeakable assaults. At one point, movement activist Dorothy Cotton said of St. Augustine that it was, quote, the roughest city we've had, 45 straight nights of beatings and intimidation. In church every night, we'd see people sitting there with bandages on. Law enforcement stood idly by as mobs attacked demonstrators with baseball bats, chains, and broken bottles. And yet, the movement continued. When blacks tried to enter segregated beaches, they sang Wade in the Water. As they marched downtown, they sang the old spiritual I Love Everybody. And each night at the mass meetings, battered and bruised, protesters sang God Will Take Care of You.
Dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. Beneath His wings of love. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. God will. He will take care. He'll take care of you.
By the time the civil rights campaign reaches Chicago, the movement has changed, even as America has changed. President Lyndon Johnson, who sponsored so much of the civil rights legislation, has said he won't run for re-election. Opposition to the Vietnam War has reached a fever pitch. Groups like the Black Panthers are reaching more and more people, and many of the movement's most loyal followers are exhausted. Chicago is a big city. And opposition to King and the SCLC's initiatives is sometimes, well, overwhelming. King himself, for the first time, is injured on a march, and the country's mood is changing quickly. Still, music was at the forefront of the movement in Chicago as well. Gospel artists, including the Staple Singers, Evelyn Gay and the Gay Sisters, Reuben Burton and the Victory Travelers, sang songs like Motherless Child, You Gotta Move, a change is going to come, and in particular, if I can help somebody.
If I can help somebody, as I pass along, if I can cheer. Then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain.
Which brings us to Memphis. King and the SCLC hadn't originally planned to get involved in Memphis, where sanitation workers were suffering terribly in a strike for humane working conditions and a living wage. The SCLC had, instead, created something called the Poor People's Campaign, which would take the plight of the poor right to the mall in Washington, D.C. But the sanitation workers in Memphis desperately needed him, and King visited the city on their behalf on a couple of occasions in the early spring of 1968. On the stormy evening of April 3rd, a tired and sleep-deprived Martin Luther King makes an appearance at the Mason Temple to an enthusiastic crowd. It is there he delivers his now legendary mountaintop speech with its prophetic lines, "I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter to me now because I've been to the mountaintop." And later he says, "I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you." And he ends by quoting from the Battle Hymn of the Republic, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." The next day is full of meetings and conferences. Somewhat refreshed, King has another mass rally scheduled. The music will be provided by musicians from the Operation Breadbasket Orchestra and Chorus, led by Ben Branch. The weather has delayed Branch's arrival to the Lorraine Hotel in Memphis. That evening, as King readies for a quick dinner in his second-floor room, he spies Branch walking into the hotel's courtyard and calls out to him. The exchange, as Branch recalled it, went like this. "Man, look tonight," King says to Branch, leaning over the railing from the second floor. "I want you to play Precious Lord tonight like you never played it before."
Precious Lord.
Startled, Branch responds, "Dr. King, I do that all the time."
"Take my hand."
No, but tonight, especially for me, I want you to play it pretty tonight.
Lead me on.
King stops, says something to Jackson, then turns back to Branch. Man, I tell you, tonight, I want that song. I mean, I want you to play it pretty tonight.
Oh.
Play it pretty. Branch says he nodded vigorously. I'm going to do that, he says. Satisfied, King smiles and leans slightly forward. Don't forget, Ben. I mean, I want Precious Lord. Play it tonight. With that, Martin Luther King Jr. turned back to his hotel room to retrieve his coat. And in that moment, an assassin's bullet changed America forever. Think about it for a moment. The man whose sermons and speeches and actions have transformed the nation, and his final words are about the most beloved gospel song of all time. In my mind, anyway, that's not insignificant. And it still has meaning for us today, 50 years after that awful event. The days that followed are a blur for many Americans now. We remember grief and giant memorial services and marches with hundreds of thousands of people. And we remember how angry and betrayed African Americans protested, leaving many American cities in flames. Two songs were performed at virtually every memorial service honoring Martin Luther King. One was the song now most associated with the civil rights movement, We Shall Overcome. It's still sung today to end meetings or funeral services. It is sung at demonstrations and protest marches. It is sung at the end of church services. And it is always sung standing, with each singer's hands locked with those on either side.
We shall overcome. We shall
Hey!
other song most associated with Martin Luther King, the civil rights movement, and the events of that sad and still painful day in Memphis 50 years ago? Take My Hand, Precious Lord. Mahalia Jackson, who is one of King's closest friends, managed to sing it at each of the memorial services in Atlanta. Those who heard her say they'll never forget it. 50 years later, neither should we.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, and let me
Darden. Thank you for joining us. Martin Luther King's last song was produced by KWBU, the Black Gospel Music Restoration Project at Baylor University Libraries, and is funded by generous support from the Pritchard Foundation.
This program will be archived on the KWBU website. You'll find it under the Shout header. Be sure to listen every Sunday morning at 8:35 a.m. and Monday evenings at 6:32 for Shout, Black Gospel Music Moments on KWBU.